All right. Good morning again, ladies and gentlemen. Party, welcome to the second half of the Free American Hour. My guest today for the second half is Daryl Bach. Hello, Daryl. How are you? Daryl, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, sir. Daryl, give me a little bit of your background. Where are you from? What part of the country are you in? And what the subject material I have here is culturally correct, Jesus versus biblical Christ. And tell me about, is this a book that you've done? Is this a website that you've done? Tell me about
it. It's a book. The book is called Dethroning Jesus, Exposing the Public Square's Attempt to Unseat the Biblical Christ. And it examines six ideas that have penetrated the culture in the last 5 years, claims that have been made, that have made the bestseller list, or that have gotten a lot of public attention about Jesus, that Dan Wallace and I, a colleague of mine who did the book with me, six ideas that we think are wrong about Jesus that have been gotten a lot of public attention.
I've been involved in some controversies in this area before. I had a biblical scholar on that said we don't follow the words of Christ, the words of Jesus. Today, the churches, the organized religions, basically follow Pauline Christianity, or the teachings of the Apostle Paul, who wasn't an apostle and wasn't even Paul. He was a Pharisee named Saul.
Well, that's actually one of the claims is the idea that Paul actually represents a distortion on what Jesus and Matthew and James taught, and we think that's wrong. And so we tried to show in one of these chapters how what Paul taught and what was taught in the rest of the New Testament actually is very, very similar, and that it all goes back to the types of things that Jesus taught.
The words of Paul that kind of upset me was, be a good slave. Don't rebel against your masters.
Well, again, what Paul is doing is he's taking a structure that existed at the time and that he couldn't do anything about, and basically said, make the best of this kind of situation. He also said, the opportunity comes to become free, take advantage of it. In other words, go ahead and become free. Don't remain a slave. So what Paul's doing in Ephesians is saying, and this is where this comes up, and he also in the book of Colossians, in both of those places he's saying that if you're in this situation, and this is the way, you know, the society at this point set up, can't be anything done about it at this point, then don't be a cause of trouble. And he says to the masters, on the other hand, and this is very unusual in the culture because the master in that culture had an absolute free hand with their slaves. He told the masters to behave in such a way and realize that God was watching over how they were treating their slaves.
All right. We got to take a great break here for just a moment, Daryl, and I'm already looking forward to this conversation. We'll be right back, folks, after these messages.
Hi. heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305. Or hbextract.com.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run. Yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
We're back with Daryl Bach. And, Daryl, I've made the comment, too. You know, keep in mind, I realize I may not be right about everything. I thought I was wrong once, and it turned out that I was wrong then. But at the Council of Nicaea in about 350 A.D., they promoted Jesus to God, and I contend that they may have done that to prevent men like you and me from trying to emulate or become the kind of man Jesus was. How does that fit into your theology?
Well, actually, they didn't promote Jesus to God at Nicaea in the date's 325, but anyway, what they did is recognize and articulate in detail something that was being taught in the churches for a couple of centuries. The Council of Nicaea was a church council that was it involved many of the leading church figures from across the Roman world at the time, and what they tried to do was to articulate in clear and in more philosophical terms, because the Bible wasn't written in such a way that it was, done in philosophical kinds of terms, who they thought Jesus was. Jesus wasn't promoted to God at that council. We know more than two centuries earlier, that Jesus was being worshipped in churches as far away as what now is northern Turkey from Israel, which is a long way away, in the early part of the second century. And so all it did was formalize in technical language what churches had long believed about Jesus Christ. It wasn't an attempt to prevent people from being what Jesus was. It was an attempt to explain who Jesus was very clearly in philosophical terms.
Was in your research, is Jesus God in the flesh, or is Jesus a son of God, as we all are?
In my research, the point that I'm trying to make is I'm trying to make a historical point about what Christianity has been throughout the centuries. And the idea is that Jesus is uniquely the Son of God, but his mission is to bring us back into relationship with God that's been broken, and to do that in a way that allows us to live as those who reflect God's image, which God has created in each human being. So this is something that gets distorted as we distance ourselves from God, and this is something that Jesus is trying to recover for each one of us by our recognizing what he's done on our behalf.
If we think of God as being the creator of everything, omniscient, omnipotent, it would seem to me that he would be the most bored entity in the universe. And as that, he's created mankind by giving us a spark of his divinity that we refer to as the soul. He's following what Shakespeare said, the whole world's a stage, and we're his entertainment. Is any truth, any chance that that might be a truth?
No, I think that what we've got is a God. I mean, I believe that he's omniscient, et cetera, but I think what we have is God who has created, let me say it this way. That the idea of being a person, of having, to use your language, of having a soul, is the idea of being able to interact in fellowship with one another and to participate in the creation. And it's not that he's bored, it's that he has created the world in such a way that we're to interact with one another, and he's created us with the image of God inside of us to reflect and have the ability to fellowship with him and to fellowship with others in the creation. The problem is that fellowship has been distorted, and that distortion comes from the desires that we have that tend to make us selfish or destructive or whatever. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the television every day at 10 o'clock to see what we're capable of doing to one another. And this is part of what Jesus came to rectify, was to change how we relate to one another and change how we relate to God by what he taught and by what his life and mission represents and the response that he seeks for us to have both to God and to one another.
The distortions that you talk about, is this from the church, from the creations of the church?
No, this is from ourselves. This is from something that we do. It's our tendency to be destructive in our relationships, to be so self-focused and so selfish that we are inconsiderate of others, that kind of thing. So it's, you know, Jesus said that the two great commandments were to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the point was that he was trying to get us to be sensitive to others in the creation that we share the creation with. And so in that sense, the distortion comes when we become so self-focused or so selfish, or in some cases so destructive, that we actually damage the relationships that we have that could be a source of joy and edification and of benefit if we didn't distort them in this kind of a way. So the issue's not the church. The environment does contribute to this in the sense that we live in a world that is full of all this distortion, but that's not the major point. The point is to is to see how we contribute to that, and then to allow the work of God in our lives to change that direction.
I've also referred to Jesus as a rebel, and one of the first rebel throughout history that managed to solve the problem that we're faced with today. How do you fight evil without becoming evil? How would you feel about that?
Well, I think that's true. In one sense, he did. He was rebelling against the status quo in the creation by pointing out the distortions that exist in the creation. It's a product of the distortion that I was just describing. But he did so in a way that, you know, usually what we try and do when we get in a rebellious mode is to say, well, everything else around us is wrong, and this is how they've got to fix it, or this is how you live in the midst of it. And what Jesus did to some degree was to reverse that by making the point, well, the place where it's got to start is with each one of us, and each one of us in first making sure that our relationship to God is healthy, and then letting that impact how we relate to the world around us. You can't fix everything, so the best thing you can do, and the one thing you can do, is to allow God to work in yourself and to change who you are. And that's, and so in that sense, the rebellion is focused in a way that actually allows us to get reoriented to the creation that we're a part of.
I've had a lot of problems with organized religion, and to me, Jesus told us when you know, three of us get together, you know, that God's there. So, do we need the churches? Do we need the preacher? Do we need the pastor? Do we need the rabbis? Or can we talk to God?
No, we can absolutely talk to God. We do. I mean, Jesus did teach that churches, or at least communities of believers, were necessary to encourage one another, to be instructed by and through the Word of God in a way that is healthy in responding to the Word of God, that kind of thing. So he didn't call us to be loners, but he did call us to relate to God individually, and to do so in a way that allowed this process of renewal that God brings through the new life. You know, sometimes you hear theologians talk about the need to be born again. That's the phrase. That's a phrase that's often used. And it talks about this life of renewal that God provides when we turn and focus our attention upon Him. And churches, at least in theory, are designed to be communities where people are doing that and encouraging one another to do that together. And that's supposed to be a healthy exercise. Now, granted, in the history of the church, there's been there has been a lot of distortion in that process as well. But generally speaking, if a church is functioning sensitively in trying to follow what Jesus taught and the Word of God, etc., then it ends up being a healthy place to be associated with, and a place of encouragement, and a place of spiritual growth.
There's many factions of Christianity today, and one faction that we deal with are the chosen people. The Bible talks about Israel, and there is, in this current issue of my magazine, Free American, I talk about the colony of Jewish people being planted in Palestine by the international bankers, the Rothschilds, to basically make a country of Israel that's armed with nuclear weapons, set inside other countries I refer to as Arab countries. But I've had a preacher comes on Mondays, usually, that talks that is from Syria, and we've talked about Iraq being in the Babylon being mentioned more in the Bible, or as much in the Bible as Israel itself. I want to get your opinion on the Holy Land and the Chosen.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
We're back, and my guest is Daryl Bach, and the information I had on you says Jesus versus biblical Christ. We've had people that trying to say that the Jews are the chosen people. We've also got a segment of Christianity called. That say that white people, the Anglo-Saxons, the Caucasians, are made up the bulk of the tribe of Israel. And we crossed the Caucasus Mountains and became Caucasians. Jesus is referred to by many of the believers that the Jews are the chosen race. As Jewish, as being Jewish. However, Pontius Pilate described Jesus as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white man. What is the truth as you've been able to ascertain, Daryl?
Well, I don't know where you've got the description of Pontius Pilate of Jesus as blue-eyed and blonde-haired. If such a text exists from the ancient world, I have no idea where it is or where it's been found, because there is, as far as I know, nothing in our ancient historical records that has anything that Pilate wrote that we have access to. Christianity emerged from and claimed to be the completion and completion of promises that God made to Abraham years ago. This would be in Genesis chapter 12 of the scripture. And
Abraham was from Ur, wasn't
it? That's correct. And Abraham is the father, as the scripture says, Abraham is the father of many nations. This includes the Jewish people, but includes other nations as well.
Syria and Iraq too, right?
Yeah, well, with again, if you come through his family line, you've got the line of Esau and Ishmael, etc. So he's responsible for a variety of nations. But the promise was that through the descendants of Abraham, the entire world would end up being blessed. That's what is known as the Abrahamic promise or the Abrahamic covenant. And so this is an agreement that God made with Abraham as the scripture describes how the promise of God is going to be realized and how benefit and blessing from God is going to come to all the world.
Well, then the Caucasian race here, the Germans, Danes, the English, the French, these are descendants of Abraham also. They're part of the covenant, aren't they?
Well, they're part of the covenant, again, because of the role that Jesus plays in this promise. In the book of Galatians in the New Testament, the point is made that it isn't just the biological descendants of Abraham who are blessed, but it also is anyone who opts to participate in or who sees the gift that Jesus offers. Anyone who participates in this promise that God offers to anyone through the work that Jesus has done. So it isn't that there is any particular race that is favored strictly on the basis of biology. It is that that God's people are made up of those who respond to what God has done in Jesus Christ. In fact, that's the heart of Christianity. The heart of Christianity is, that's why it's called Christianity, are people who recognize that Jesus is the anointed one, that he has come to fix this distortion that we were talking about in the last half hour, and by embracing the recognition of their need for what God provides through Jesus Christ, this is theologically called the gift of grace or the gift of eternal life, the gift of God's presence and spirit in us, and by recognizing the need for that, and believing in what Jesus has done on behalf of humanity, we come into the people of God and participate in the benefits of this blessing that God offers through Jesus and through to those who take advantage of the gift. It's like, if I can give an example, it's like my putting, this is a Christmas, so I'll use the example, it's like my putting a Christmas present under your tree. That Christmas present doesn't do you any good at all just sitting under the tree. You've got to open it, take it, and appreciate it, and receive it as a gift. And that's part of what the Christian faith has always said, is that blessing doesn't come automatically to somebody because they're a certain biology or they were born in a certain location in the world. Blessing comes as they respond to what God has offered in and through Jesus Christ.
Okay, what's your name? Dan in Texas. All right. We've got a caller.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Dan, go ahead.
Well, I just can't help but be curious. Daryl, right off the bat, said he wrote this book because there are six claims that have been made regarding Jesus in the last 5 years that he considers to be apostate views. And so far, I don't know what one of those six is and why he believes they're apostate views.
Well,
I'd like to know what those six points are and why you disagree with them. And I'll listen on air.
All right, well, wait a minute. We got the music coming up. Means I got to take a break for a few commercials. And then we'll be right back to get Daryl's answer to you. Then we'll be right back. You're listening to The Free American.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run, yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right. We're back. All right. Daryl, can you answer Dan's question?
Sure. The 6 claims were, now remember, these are coming from books that have been written that were written by people who teach oftentimes in religious studies courses and universities and that kind of thing. But the first was the idea that the Bible has been so poorly copied that we can't know what it originally said. We think that's wrong. The second is the idea that these new gospels that we found, like the Gospel of Thomas, show that there was no such thing as Orthodox Christianity in the beginning, but there were a wide variety of Christianities in the beginning, and they all have an equal claim to be called Christianity. We think that's wrong. The third is the idea that Gospels, again, these new Gospels like the Gospel of Thomas or the Gospel of Judas, show that that there were a variety of teachings about Jesus, which had less to do with what he came to do in his person, and have more to do with the ideas that he taught about God. I'm still here. The fourth idea is that Paul's Christianity was something completely different than what Jesus and his apostles taught. The fifth is the idea that Jesus was primarily a political revolutionary as opposed to being interested in spiritual change in people. And the last is the one that happened about a year ago, in which the claim was found that we had found the missing family tomb of Jesus and had found his bones. So we went through each one of these one at a time in the book. It's called Dethroning Jesus, Exposing the Public Square's Quest to Unseat the Biblical Christ. We went through each of these ideas one at a time and explained on the basis of historical data and interacting with these materials why each one of these claims is in fact wrong, and how each one of them represents a way of misleading people about what Christianity is and trying to replace it with something we call Jesusanity. Jesusanity is the idea that the only thing that makes Jesus important is what he taught about God, but that he himself was not at the center of what God was doing, whereas Christianity says that Jesus Christ is at the center of what Jesus' own message was and is at the center of what God does for people.
Dan, does that answer your questions? Okay, Dan's off. All right. Again, our phone number here is 800-313-9443. Would you have a website, sir?
Yeah, well, I do. Sure. I do a blog. Change it about every other day at a site called www.bible.org, and then on that site is a click that you go to called Box Blog, and that is my website.
All right, sir. What about the racial identity? What about the country of Israel? How do you feel about that?
You mean about its existence?
Yes, sir. Its existence, the way it's treating the Palestinians, that kind of thing.
Well, I do think that Israel has the right to exist as a nation. I mean, if you're asking me, do I think Israel has the right to exist? I think Israel has the right to exist as a nation. There's no doubt that the Bible says that the Middle East is going to be a place of contention until Jesus Christ comes back. But the right of Israel to exist is something that God did promise as part of this Abrahamic promise that I talked about with you earlier. It's part of what he said should exist and is in his program and plan to exist. And then people's discomfort with Israel let me say it this way, not just discomfort with Israel, but people's attempt to annihilate Israel is something that God does not favor.
Well, is in your mind, is the country of Israel, which was the country of Palestine before the Balfour Declaration, is that the same thing as the Israel talked about in the Bible?
It's not as it exists yet, because there's coming a time, the Bible says, when Jewish people will be responsive to Jesus Christ, and it's at that point that Israel will come back into participation in receiving the benefits of this promise. That's part of the, if you will, the big story that runs through the scripture. But Israel's right to exist as a kind of laying the foundation for this is something that the Bible also affirms. You know, this history that we're talking about who owns the land, which you alluded to by talking about the fact that it was Palestine before the Balfour Declaration, this history is goes way back. I mean, the whole story of how Joshua came into the land, establishing the nation of Israel, of course Joshua came after Moses, is part of this biblical story about how God gave this portion of the Middle East to the Jewish people. It isn't an attempt to short-circuit, if I can say it this way, the right of other people to other land, but it is a way of saying that the Jewish people were to have this spot in the world for their own nation and for their own practices. And then that was to be the place from which also the Messiah was going to come, and in fact it's going to be the place that one day the Messiah, Jesus, will come back to complete the promise and blessings that that God offers through Jesus Christ.
But the Jewish people, especially the ones that are following the Talmud, don't believe in Jesus and are pretty detrimental in their reference to him and his mother Mary. The Arab people that we're being pushed into a war against right now have a lot of respect for Jesus.
Well, actually, in their religion. A very, very complex question. The Arab people that you're talking about, some of them have some respect for Jesus, but they don't regard Jesus with near the level of respect that he should be regarded with. And the Jewish people, you mentioned the Talmudic connection in particular, some of the Jewish people are hostile to Jesus, but there also are Jewish people who are very receptive of Jesus. I actually am on the board of a ministry that is made up of nothing but Jewish people who have responded to Jesus Christ and who have embraced him and have embraced the promise. And so so you really have, and this is actually true of almost all ethnicities, you really have a mix in these variety of nation groups in terms of who is responding to Jesus and who isn't. There are loads of nations across the world that don't have any positive response or not much of a positive response to Jesus, who have the right to exist as nations. So that in and of itself to me is not a rationale for a qualification for a nation. There have always been nations that have not been responsive to God and yet at the same time have existed in our world. You can pick any century and you can find that.
Okay. I try to, because I believe that this is what Jesus wanted. I don't believe Jesus meant for any of us to be racist. I've got on the chat room here, I've got one guy I refer to by names I can't use on the air that would like to believe that Israel was all white people. And yeah, he's probably correct in a certain aspect that the tribe of Judah was just one of the 12 tribes of Israel.
That's right.
But, you know, I've also got people that say, oh, Clay, in your last magazine you had, or one of your magazines, you had an ad for a strip club in there, and you had pictures of, you know, pretty women in bathing suits in there, so I'm not going to subscribe to your magazine anymore. And my thought was, Jesus hung out with prostitutes. You know, I mean, if he was here with us today, I think he'd probably enjoy going to a dance club.
He didn't make judgments like that. He did hang out with prostitutes, but he also encouraged them to live a life that was healthy and that was, morally sound. So, for example, in a very famous passage, the passage of the woman caught in adultery, where he said, you know, let the one who is without sin cast the first stone, which kind of disqualified everybody. He turned around and he turned to the woman who had been caught in adultery and said, go and sin no more. So this, Jesus associated with all kinds of people. In fact, he said he's made a point of associating with people who had this need to restore this relationship with God that had been broken. And so that's why he hung out with tax collectors and prostitutes, etc. but he also did so in a way that was going to restore and change the direction of their relationship to God and the way they lived. So it wasn't that he hung out with them and left them alone. It was that he hung out with them with the goal and the intention and even with the teaching that says you need to be responsive to what God is doing in your life. And in one particular passage, we have a prostitute, or at least an immoral woman, a reputational woman who's immoral, anointing Jesus' feet, and this upsets the Pharisees who are hosting Jesus at the time. But he basically says in the midst of that response is, here's a woman who has heard my message, who's responded to it, who's changed her life, and she's expressing her gratitude for this. This is a positive thing, and it's something that Jesus reinforced. So, you know, this is part of what Jesus is about. This is part of what we celebrate when we talk about the Christmas season. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. We're reminding ourselves not just that he came in a manger, and what a nice story that is, but why he came. And he came in order to encourage people to enter into this fresh relationship with God, which he has provided the way for by taking care of this distortion that we've been talking about and enabling us to live in the way we were originally designed because of what it is that he's done.
I have another caller. All right, who we got?
Melissa.
Who? Melissa? Yes. Okay. All right, we've got another caller online. Melissa in Texas, how are you, dear?
Well, I'm fine. How are you?
Ooh, I'm pretty good.
Yeah. I have two separate points. Earlier, you folks were talking about the Israel bloodline. From the way I see it, and the right or wrong of the nation state of Israel being there at this point. First, Galatians 3:16, which was Paul writing, said, now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the promise that all nations would be blessed was through Christ. That's the whole blessing there, is that Christ would make available to everyone if they believed through him. And then I put an aside there where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me or through me. And so that's what the blessing was, that Israel, and I'm thankful for ancient Israel who kept God's word intact so that we could have it now. But then that leads me to my second point, which is whatever their name is, the Nutriacarte, or the folks who are...
The Orthodox Jews that are against Zionism.
Yeah, who believe, according to Torah and Tanakh, that there is to be no homeland for them until Messiah comes. So, from my point of view, this nation state of Israel, with its bulldozing and threatenings and totally evil government, which is not Jewish, they pretty much are destroying the Orthodox Jews every chance they get over there. They're not supposed to be there until Christ comes. And then I would go ahead and add, first for his church, meet him in the air, and then the tribulation, and then he comes back with his mighty messengers and the Battle of Armageddon, and then in that thousand-year period, that millennial reign, is when Israel will be given the rest of their promises that were not fulfilled up to that point. Because some were not fulfilled, like that they would get their homeland back and that they would each tribe would be given a section of that land. And I don't call it the Holy Land because there's nothing holy about it right now. I call it the Bible Land.
Melissa, you're right about Galatians 3, that the promise ultimately comes to be focused in Jesus Christ. Of course, if you trace the story of that promise, starting from Genesis and running up into the New Testament in Galatians, what you'll see is that the seed of Abraham that's blessed both expands and contracts, what I mean by that is that as we come through and we see that the line of the promise is passed on through Isaac and Jacob and the 12 of Joseph, which becomes the basis for the nation of Israel, etc., and then it contracts down when the promise is made that one day a descendant of David will sit on the throne, etc. This is the emphasis is on how this promise is passing through time, and it ends up focusing in Jesus Christ. So your first point is absolutely correct, and you're right to raise it.
May I interject there a minute?
Sorry?
Can I interject something?
Sure, go ahead.
I think that the whole Bible from, you know, the first two chapters are about Adam, and it took him just two chapters to mess the whole thing up, and then the rest of the whole Bible is about Jesus Christ fixing it.
You're exactly right.
In the Old Testament, it was pointing toward the first coming. Now we look back on him coming back.
All right, hold on just a minute, Melissa. Stay with me. We got just a few more minutes to wrap this up, and we'll be right back here. You're listening to The Free American.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Teach the world to snuff the fires and the liars. They are no
All right. We're back. And you still with me, Melissa?
Yeah. Let me just say one quick thing, and I'll let you guys finish up because I want to hear about the info again.
Okay.
Just that the whole Bible is all about Jesus Christ and him redeeming mankind from Adam throwing it away. And he's called the last Adam. And that it's by grace we are saved through Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that includes women, too, by the way, Clay. and thanks. And have this guy on again, Clay. He's pretty good.
All right.
All right.
All right, listen, thank you, Melissa.
Bye-bye.
And, by the way, I've got a from a book entitled The Arco Volume, A-R-C-H-K-O, is a collection of translations of ancient documents that are housed in the Vatican Library, including a description of Jesus by Pontius Pilate in a letter report to Tiberius Caesar. The translators were Dr. McIntosh and Tyman, T-W-Y-M-A-N, of the Antiquarian Lodge in Genoa, Italy. And from page 131, they say, his golden hair, colored hair and beard gave his appearance a celestial aspect. He appeared to be about 30 years of age. I have never seen a sweeter or more serene countenance. What a contrast between him and his hearers with their black beards and tawny complexions.
I appreciate you giving me the reference, but I can tell you, okay, as someone who's given their life to studying this area and knowing which texts are authentic and go back to this period, that we have, according to anyone who studies classics, not a single text that goes all the way back to Pilate that he wrote that we have recovered. So I don't know where they say it's in the Vatican Library. I guarantee you if that were in the Vatican Library and we had it, everyone would know about it because it would be one of the most important and precious texts that had ever been discovered. So what I'm telling you is that I don't think that source is correct.
All right, sir. Well, do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's on www.bible.org, and the site itself is on that page. It's Box Blog, B-O-C-K, apostrophe S, blog, B-L-O-G. You just click on that, and you're on my site. And as I say, I post something about, every other day related to Jesus and the culture. Let me get to the Israel point that Melissa made, because it's
okay.
Important. And that is, I agree with her that Israel will not be in the position of being blessed until Jesus comes back and she responds to the Messiah. I alluded to this earlier in the hour. That doesn't preclude the possibility, however, for God kind of setting the table, if I can use a picture, for that return and allowing the nation to be present and extant in the land. Having said that, I want to make a point that she made about something else that's also important, and that is that Israel isn't always faithful in the way she lives or carries out her responsibilities as a nation. That does to say that Israel has the right to land and to exist as a nation is not to say that everything that Israel does is right.
All right,
proper.
And I appreciate that. We're out of time, Daryl. Thank you for being on with me.
Thanks,
and
I'll
put links to this conversation up on the site under your name, sir. Thank you very much. My number here, folks, is 888-678-1444. With